that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Welcome back to Hackberry House, a podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church in North Korea. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 470. It's May the 12th, 2016. Well, what is the enchanted ground? Bunyan and Spurgeon seem to think it's the worst of all tests for the Christian. Let me go to Charles Spurgeon right now as he quotes from John Bunyan. I saw then in my dream that they went on until they came into a certain country whose air naturally tended to make one drowsy if he came a stranger into it. And here, hopeful began to be very dull and heavy of sleep. Wherefore he said unto Christian, I do now begin to grow so drowsy that I can scarcely hold up mine eyes. Let us lie down here and take one nap. Christian said, by no means, lest sleeping we never awake more. Why, my brother, sleep is sweet to the laboring man. We may be refreshed if we take a nap. Do you not remember that one of the shepherds bid us beware of the enchanted ground? He meant by that we should beware of sleeping. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. And now Spurgeon. There are no doubt many of us who are passing over this plain, and I fear that this is the condition of the majority of churches in the present day. They're lying down on the settles of lukewarmness in the arbors of the enchanted ground. There is not that activity and zeal we could wish to see among them. They are not perhaps notably heterodox. They may not be invaded by the lion of persecution, but they are lying down to slumber, like heedless and too bold in the arbor of sloth. God grant that his servants may be the means of arousing the church from its lethargy and stirring it up from its slumbers, lest haply professors should sleep the sleep of death. Let me picture to you the state of a sleeping Christian. When a man is asleep, he is insensible. The world moves on, and he knows naught about it. The watchman calls out beneath his window, but he hears him not. A fire is raging in a neighboring street, or his neighbor's house is burned to ashes, but he is asleep. He's unaware of the calamity. Persons are sick in the house where he lives, but he is not awakened. They may die, yet he weeps not for them. A revolution may be in progress in the streets of his city. A king may be losing his crown, but he that is asleep shares not in the turmoil of politics. A volcano may burst somewhere near him, and he may be in imminent peril, but he knows no fear. He is sound asleep. He is unconscious. The winds are howling, the thunders are rolling across the sky, and the lightnings flash past his window, but he who can sleep on careth for none of these things. He's insensible to them all. The sweetest music is echoing through the street, but he sleeps, and only in dreams doth he hear the sweetness. The most terrific wailings may assail his ears, but sleep has sealed them with the wax of slumber, and he hears not. Let the world break in sunder and the elements go to ruin. Keep him asleep, and he will not perceive it. Slumbering Christian, behold a picture of your condition. Have you not sometimes mourned your insensibility? You wished you could feel, but all you felt was pain because you could not feel. You wished you could pray. It was not that you felt prayerless, but that you did not feel at all. You used to sigh once. You would give a world if you could sigh now. You used to groan once. A groan now would be worth a golden star if you could buy it. As for worldly songs, you can sing them, but your heart does not go with them. You go to the house of God, but when the multitude that keep holy day, in the full tide of song, send their music up to heaven, you hear it, but your heart does not leap at the sound. Prayer goeth solemnly up to God's throne, like the smoke of the evening sacrifice. Once you could pray too, but now, while your body is in the house of God, your heart is elsewhere. You've become like a formalist. You feel that there is not that savor, that unction in the preaching that there used to be. There's no difference in your minister, you know. The change is in yourself. The hymns and the prayers are just the same, but you've fallen into a state of slumber. Once, if you thought of a man being damned, you felt as if you could weep your very soul out in tears. But now, you could sit at the very brink of hell and hear its wailings unmoved. Once the thought of restoring a sinner from the error of his ways would have made you start from your bed at midnight, and you would have rushed through the cold air to help to rescue a sinner. Now, talk to you about perishing multitudes, and you hear it as an old, old tale. Tell you of thousands swept by the mighty flood of sin onwards to the precipice of destruction. You express your regret, you give your contribution, but your heart is not stirred within you. You must confess that you are insensible, not entirely so perhaps, but far too much so. You want to be awake, but you groan because you feel yourself to be in this state of slumber. Again, sleep is a state of inaction. No daily bread is earned by him that sleepeth. The man who is stretched upon his couch neither writeth books, nor tilleth the ground, nor ploweth the sea, nor doeth aught else. His pulse beateth, so he is alive, but he is practically dead as to activity. Alas, beloved, this is the state of many of you. How many Christians are inactive? And once it was their delight to instruct the young in the Sabbath school, but that is given up. Once they attended the early prayer meeting, but they do not go there now. Once they would be hewers of wood and drawers of water, but alas, they are asleep now. Am I talking of what may possibly happen? Is it not too true almost universally? Are not the churches asleep? Where are the ministers who really preach? We have men who read essays, but is that preaching? We have men who can amuse an audience for 20 minutes, but is that preaching? Where are the men who preach their very hearts out and put their souls into every sentence? Where are the men who make it not a profession, but a vocation, the breath of their bodies, the marrow of their bones, the delight of their spirits? Where are the Whitfields and Wesleys now? Where are the Rowland Hills now, who preached every day and three times a day, and were not afraid of preaching everywhere the unsearchable riches of Christ? Brethren, the church slumbers. It is not merely that the pulpit is a sentry box with the sentinel fast asleep, but the pews are affected also. Why are the prayer meetings almost universally neglected? Where is the spirit of prayer? Where the life of devotion? Is it not almost extinct? Are not our churches fallen, fallen, fallen from their high estate? God, wake them up and send them more earnest and praying men. The man who is asleep is also in a state of insecurity. The murderer smiteth him that sleeps. The midnight robber plundereth the house of him that resteth listlessly on his pillow. Jael smiteth a sleeping Sisera. Abishai taketh away the spear from the bolster of a slumbering Saul. A sleeping Eutychus falleth from the third loft and is taken up dead. A sleeping Samson is shorn of his locks, and the Philistines are upon him. Sleeping men are ever in danger. They cannot ward off the blow of the enemy, nor strike in their own defense. Christian, if thou art sleeping, thou art in danger. Thy life, I know, can never be taken from thee, for it is hid with Christ in God. But, oh, thou mayest lose thy spear from the bolster. Thou mayest lose much of thy faith and thy cruse of water, wherewith thou dost moisten thy lips, may be stolen by the prowling thief. Thou little knowest thy danger. Awake, thou slumberer. Start up from the place where thou now liest in thine insecurity. This is not the sleep of Jacob, in which a ladder unites heaven and earth, and angels tread the ascending rounds, but this is the sleep in which ladders are raised from hell, and devils climb upward from the pit to seize thy slumbering spirit. Sleepy Christian, let me shout in thine ears. Thou art sleeping while souls are being lost, sleeping while men are being damned, sleeping while hell is being peopled, sleeping while Christ is being dishonored, while the devil is grinning at thy sleepy face, sleeping while demons are dancing round thy slumbering carcass and telling it in hell that a Christian is asleep. You will never catch the devil asleep. Let not the devil catch you asleep. Watch and be sober, that you may be always ready to do your duty. A Christian is most liable to sleep when his temporal circumstances are all right. When your nest is well feathered, you are then most likely to sleep. There's little danger of your sleeping when there is a bramble bush in the bed. When your couch is downy, then the most likely thing for you to say will be, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, be merry." Let me ask some of you, when you were more straitened in circumstances, when you had to rely upon providence each hour and had troubles to take to the throne of grace, were you not more wakeful than you are now? The miller who hath his wheel turned by a constant stream goes to sleep. But he that dependeth on the wind, which sometimes bloweth hard and sometimes gently, sleeps not, lest haply the full gust might rend the sails, or there should not be enough to make them go round. Easy roads tend to make us slumber. Few sleep in a storm. Many sleep on a calm night. Why is the church asleep now? She would not sleep if Smithfield were filled with stakes, if St. Bartholomew's tocsin were ringing in her ears. She would not sleep if Sicilian Vespers might be sung on tomorrow's eve. She would not sleep if massacres were common now. But what is her condition? Every man sitting under his own vine and fig tree, none daring to make him afraid. Tread softly. She's fast asleep. Another dangerous time is when all goes well in spiritual matters. You do not need and read what that Christian went to sleep when lions were in the way, no, nor when he was passing through the river of death, nor when he was in Giant Despair's castle, nor during his fight with Apollyon. Poor creature, he almost wished he could sleep then. But when he had got halfway up the hill, difficulty, and came to a pretty little arbor, in he went. He sat down and began to read his roll. Oh, how he rested himself, how he unstrapped his sandals and rubbed his weary feet. Very soon his mouth was open, his arms hung down, and he was fast asleep. Again, the enchanted ground was a very easy, smooth place, and liable to send the pilgrim to sleep. You remember Bunyan's description of one of the arbors. Then they came to an arbor, warm and promising much refreshing to the pilgrim. For it was finely wrought above head, beautified with greens, furnished with benches and settles. It also had in it a soft couch whereon the weary might lean. This arbor was called the Slothful's Friend, on purpose to allure, if it might be, some of the pilgrims there, to take up their rest when weary. Well, depend on it, It is in easy places that men shut their eyes and wander into the dreamy land of forgetfulness. Old Erskine said a good thing when he remarked, "I like a roaring devil better than a sleeping devil." There's no temptation half so bad as not being tempted. The distressed soul does not sleep. It's after we get into confidence and full assurance that we're in danger of slumbering. Take care, thou who art full of gladness. There's no season in which we are so likely to fall asleep as that of high enjoyment. Take heed, joyous Christian. Good frames are very dangerous. They often lull into sound slumber. One of the most likely places for us to sleep in is when we get near our journey's end. Now, the Pilgrim's Guide said to Christiana, "This enchanted ground is one of the last refuges that the enemy to pilgrims has. Wherefore it is, as you see, placed almost at the end of the way, and so it standeth against us with the more advantage. For when, thinks the enemy, will these fools be so desirous to sit down as when they are weary? And when so like to be weary as when almost at their journey's end? Therefore it is, I say, that the enchanted ground is placed so high and so nigh to the land Beulah, and so near the end of their race. Wherefore, let pilgrims look to themselves, lest it happen to them, as it has done to these, that, as you see, are fallen asleep, and none can wake them." It's quite true that those who have been for years in grace are most in danger of slumbering. Somehow we get into the routine of religious observance. It's customary for us to go to the house of God. It's usual for us to belong to the church, and that of itself tends to make people sleepy. If we're always going along the same road, we're liable to sleep. If Moab gets at ease and is not emptied from vessel to vessel, he sleeps on, for he knows no change. And when years have worn our road with a rut of godliness, we are apt to throw the reins on our horse's neck and sleep soundly. What's to be done to ensure wakefulness when crossing the enchanted ground? One of the best plans is to keep Christian company and talk about the ways of the Lord. As Bunyan said, Christian said to Hopeful, "To prevent drowsiness in this place, let us fall into good discourse." "With all my heart," said Hopeful. "Where shall we begin?" asked Christian. "Where God began with us," replied his companion. Well, there's no subject so likely to keep a godly man awake as talking of the place where God began with him. When Christian men talk together, they won't fall asleep together. Keep Christian company and you will not be so likely to slumber. Christians who isolate themselves and stand alone are very liable to lie down on the settle or the soft couch and go to sleep. But if you talk much together, as they did in the olden time, you'll find it extremely beneficial. Amen. End of Spurgeon. Go back to Bunyan tomorrow to see what they did talk about to keep themselves from sleeping. Thank you for being with me today. We end with Ephesians 5:14, where we began, "Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Amen.